God going to move so mightily? You just must understand this. The whole economy of Egypt, the world power, and it is on its last leg. The Red Sea drowning, I think, kind of finished it. But their whole economy is established on evil and sin and slavery of the Israelites for 400 years. God heard their cry, and He is going to have them released. And God will be glorified. I just remind you of this. Remember when Pharaoh said, "Get out of here," after the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. And with a strong hand, with a strong arm, the Bible says, and they spoiled the Egyptians. They gave them their wealth. It's amazing, and God told them that ahead of time, told Moses that ahead of time. If you remember, then they sent spies into Canaan land, and 10 spies came back with, "It's awesome, but there are giants." It's super interesting. They find some skeletal bones that indicate that people really may well have been over 20 feet tall. So when you go and see David and Goliath at, what is that called, Sight and Sound, and they got these monster giants, maybe. Now Goliath, you know, was probably only about 10 feet tall. He's a little shrimpy giant. But, because we know that because the Bible gives us his size, but they said the people are giants and they will squash us like grasshoppers, and they said we would go, but for our children. And then Joshua and Caleb, two out of 12, said, "God said we can take it, let's go take it." And the people, they whined and complained, and God said, "Fine, you're not going in. Your children are the ones that are going to go in. And for every day you spied out the land, you're going to wander in the wilderness a year, 40 years wandering in the wilderness." After they wandered in the wilderness, 40 years is a long time. It's a long time. 40 years ago, I was 19 and not even yet in my prime. And 40 years, I've almost been married 40 years. The wife of my youth, no longer, but she is the wife of my youth, right? And 40 years is a long time. Jericho didn't forget. Our hearts melted. God was so successful. And it was the mercy of God, not only upon Egypt, but the rest of the world, that the world may know that there's a God. And the world knew. And it was to the glory of God. And do you know what I love? Old Rahab said, "Our hearts melted. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Jericho, the indestructible city, except for God. They were afraid. You see, it's good to understand that He's God and you're not, but then we understand His great love. So God's in the midst of this. Tonight we're going to see plagues 2 through 4. Number 2, number 3, number 4. Frogs, lice, and flies. Oh my, it's not the same as the Wizard of Oz, but this stuff is so real. And Egyptian history notes these things. It's super interesting. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. They had the Nile River turned to blood, and all the water you could see turned to blood, but then, remember, the magicians, any other water left, how dumb were they? They turned to blood as well. Not too whippy of magicians that all they could do is replicate it, right? You're going to find that's what they can do here until the third plague. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and in thine ovens, and in thy kneading troughs." If I'd have been Pharaoh, I said, "I got it." You know, God's like, "There ain't going to be a place there's not a frog." It's good. Verse 4, "And the frogs shall come up upon, both on thee and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. Verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams and over the rivers and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, evil. The devil has some power, all under the control of God. God allows this, and the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord. It is, it's interesting. It's the word entreat, intercede for me. It's so interesting. You know that Pharaoh claimed to be what? What, Julia? Pharaoh claimed to be what? What? Been a long day, huh? Pharaoh claimed to be a god. He claimed to be a god. But here's what's interesting. If you're a god, be like, hey, fellow god, how you doing? But he said, oh, Moses. Because remember, God said, I will make you a god before Pharaoh. And here's Pharaoh asking for Moses to entreat or intercede. He says, verse 8, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me, because his magicians couldn't, and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. I love Moses' response. I'm going to ask you a question. How many think it was legitimate or sarcastic? The way I read it, I could read it sarcastically, and that's almost the way I read it. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me! I literally think Moses thought, woohoo! This is it! I don't have to come before you anymore. Moses, glory over me, because you know what Pharaoh said? I'm going to let him go. Glory over me. I'll pause here and I'll talk about this in just a second. I see people sometimes, we share the truth of the gospel, and there's nothing better in life than knowing Christ and being saved. And we forget that easily, do we not? We get distracted and all that. But there are false professions. There are people that say, let me see if I get this right. All I must do is believe. You know, I told you that 14-year-old, he said, what if I wait till I'm 80 and then I believe? Will I go to heaven? What's the answer? Yes. I said, but I have two concerns. One, how presumptuous of you. I know all you guys know that, what that word means. You've studied it this past week. How presumptuous of you to think you'll be alive when you're 80. And you've heard me tell you this, the second thing. He had no interest in Jesus, did he? He just wanted the ticket out of hell. Let me tell you, it's all about Jesus Christ. If all you want is the ticket out of hell, I have great concern for you. It's not what the gospel's about. The gospel's about one person, Jesus Christ. Let's see if Pharaoh's for real. Glory over me, he says, verse 9. When shall I entreat for you and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? This is one of the most shocking verses. And he said, tomorrow. What? How many of you have witnessed to people and you've shared the gospel and you look at them and you say, do you understand this? Yes, I do. When are you truly going to put your faith and trust in Christ? How many of you ever heard tomorrow? Another day. Just not now. You're going to find out what Pharaoh professed was not true. Tomorrow. I'm not going to park on it a ton, but I want to park on it right now. I just want you to understand this. When God deals with your heart, when should you respond? Absolutely. Right away. How presumptuous of me. That means I think I know God will be there tomorrow just dealing with me just the same. Does he promise that? No. He's so good, I've taken that for granted, right? Does he do that a lot? He does. Does he wrestle with me a lot? He does. But how presumptuous of me to think, I know he will again. That's taking God for granted. And I'm telling you, when God deals with your heart, deal with him. That doesn't mean you have to come down. It means you just need to talk to the Lord. You need to say, oh, Lord, you have convicted me of this. And Lord, I know I've had this attitude. I'm tired of repenting. I don't even know what repentance is. I'm tired of asking you to forgive me. And God says, how about just one more time? How about just one more time? Does the Lord ever get tired of us turning to him for forgiveness of sins? Never does. But boy, that goes through our head, doesn't it? Goes through our little head that says, God doesn't want to hear from me until I show him I mean business. How about you mean in business and confess your sins and do what's right before the Lord? Not tomorrow, but today. That'll change your life, oh Christian. It'll change my life if I just deal with things today. You know what? I've got Wednesday to finish well. I've got 4 hours and 13 minutes to go on Wednesday, which means I've got 43 more minutes to preach. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. I want to finish Wednesday well. I'm going to die one day. And most likely, when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be like, are you kidding me? I think I'm going to be shocked. But I hope I didn't have sin that I was waiting to get right tomorrow. I don't know what that's going to be like. I want to be caught doing right. And I've told the Lord, kill me, oh God, if I'm going to hurt your reputation and I can't hurt his cause. I can besmirch him and mar him. You know why? Because I waited till tomorrow. Don't wait till tomorrow. God wants to hear from you today. The Bible says that. Today. Harden not your heart. Deal with God today. It's just shocking to me. What you're going to see. And I haven't, you know, so you guys just understand. I really live one day at a time. And so my little bit of preview, and I've obviously read Exodus and stuff, but you know, I don't remember the details. It looks like, now I don't know if it's for the rest of the plagues, but for these near plagues, when does Moses always, after this, when does Moses say he'll remove the plague? Tomorrow. It's tomorrow from this point on. Pharaoh said, now I don't know if it's for all of them, but you're going to see it in these, right? It's like, so it's sort of like, you want it tomorrow? You get it tomorrow every day, right? And so I don't know if that's for all 10, but you're going to see that tonight. It's, you would think right then, but it looks like he says, tomorrow this shall be. It's interesting. I wanted you to know this. God wants to hear from us today. Anyway, and he said tomorrow with the slimy frogs everywhere. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy houses and from thy servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. It's super interesting that God waited until Moses talked to him. Don't assume God knows and that God's going to. Why don't you talk to him and say, hey, Lord, I know you heard that conversation. Would you remove the frogs? Yes, I will. I mean, I don't know. It's God wants us to communicate with him. Do you understand that? The frogs weren't removed until Moses talked to him. Look at verse 12. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Moses. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses and out of the villages and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps. Oh, man, what a scene. And the land stank. You're not saying. When Pharaoh saw that there was respite, a little relief, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Pharaoh's heaping more judgment upon himself. He's now a liar. I'll let him go. Whose house was cleaned first? Pharaoh's. whose house probably didn't stink that bad? Pharaoh's. And he's like, nah. You got to understand, this whole economy was based on the audacious suppression of people. Always been sin. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron. So now you're going to see, this is the third plague. There's no warning to Pharaoh. And it's the pattern. Plagues 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Plague 3, no warning. 4 and 5, let my people go. Plague 6, it is no warning. 7, 8, let my people go. 9, no warning. And then 10, did he warn them? Did he warn Pharaoh? did he warn him? I don't know if he did. Did he for sure? So you guys, we'll look it up later, but I don't think he told them about the blood on the doorpost. I know that, but because, I don't know, maybe he did. Maybe he warned him. I don't know. So I should know that probably, but okay. Don't spend your time. Okay. If you find it, just raise your hand and let me know. Did he warn them about the firstborn dying? Verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. You know, I thought I would ask, how many of you have had lice? Nobody wants to raise their hand for that, right? And, but it's, you know, anyway, so lice just everywhere. And now let's see who all it affected. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, because they were morons. But they could not. There was so much lice, they would have said, yeah, Pharaoh, we made lice. How would he know, right? How would he know? What, just a couple another billion? But they were honest. But they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. You just got to love Moses. The courage that he had to have and the trust in the Lord. Pharaoh was the most powerful man on earth. But God said, I will protect you. And Moses, with all of his excuses, had great boldness, did he not? You got to understand why the Lord loved Moses. Why Moses is so spoken of well by everyone, including Jesus. He, the guts, the courage it took, I don't know. It was just only God. Verse 20, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and saying to him, thus saith the Lord. You got to imagine Pharaoh. Oh! I want you, do you think Pharaoh got up earlier? I'll get up earlier. I'll beat him. And, oh, there he is. He didn't do anything about it because he thought he was a god. Thus saith the Lord, verse 20, let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and into thy houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies and also the ground whereon they are. You're going to be crunching the flies as you're swatting the flies, as you're sitting on the flies. Verse 22. This is unique, and I don't know if it means that the Israelites got lice or that they didn't have clean water either, but God makes this pronouncement here. If you ask me, I think he probably did protect them from the bloody water and the lice, because that's what God does. But flies, you know, a little bit more difficult, right? I think the flies would have made, like, you know, you ever see birds right this time of year, whoosh, flying south and the skies almost get dark? I think that's what the flies would be. And, you know, so the Israelites, most of them lived in Goshen. separate from Egypt. And here's what he says, verse 22, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth." So I'm saying maybe they had lice, I don't know. "And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Let's make a deal." Well, this is what he says. "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, so he said this, "You can sacrifice in Goshen, right here. You don't need to go." And Moses said, "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us?" Understand this. This would be like, so the Egyptians thought shepherds were an abomination, and the sacrifices that Israel do, that would have just been so offensive. It would be like for Muslims sacrificing a pig and offering it before them. They'd be super offended. You know, for Jews, it'd be like, you know what, sacrificing a pig in the most holy place. It would be very, very similar. It'd be like slaughtering a cow in a Hindu temple. That's what Moses is like. No way the people will hate us. And that's the abomination. Verse 27. He says, "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us." And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far, very far away. Entreat for me." And Moses said, "Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people." Tomorrow. Not today. You like tomorrow, Pharaoh? We're going to give you a whole bunch of tomorrow. You know, if I'm Moses, I'd be like, I wish he'd said 3 days from now. I don't know. No, we should love our enemies. I know. I have issues. So Moses said, "I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people. This is an amazing statement. There remained not one. Folks, when the Bible said there wasn't one fly left, you know what that means? There wasn't one fly left. That seems like, that's ridiculous detail, but that's our God. You go from, they're all over, you're crunching them. It says they're stepping on them. Boom. Where'd all the flies go? I don't know. Not one remains. You got to love God. And verse 32 is really a tragic verse. "And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go." Title of the message tonight, plagues of frogs, lice, and flies. First thing I really want you to notice, and it's said this over and over, it's just tonight, I don't know, I want to emphasize it. I don't want you to miss it. I want you to see it every time when Moses says, "Let my people go." Front row scholars, what does he say? "Let my people go." What does he say after that? You need some incentive? I never have cash. I just make sure it's a low denomination. It is. Whoever looked at their Bible, you are not allowed to look at your Bible. Now, normally, that's bad advice. You should always look at your Bible. But whoever looked at your Bible, you're disqualified. I do love that. I do love that because you should look at your Bible, but this wasn't a look at your Bible. It wasn't an open book question. Did you look at your Bible? Do you know the answer? Then save $5. Do you know the answer, Elizabeth? Whew. Now, the three people that looked in their Bible, do you know the answer? Oh. Well, you need to learn how to look in your Bible, right? Here's how you do it. You know, I mean, I was good at cheating. I'd be like, and no, "Let my people go that they may serve me." They were freed to serve. I just want you to emphasize this. What God did for Israel is he released them from bondage. You see, And it's a picture of sin. When God saves us, He releases us from the bondage of sin. And what is terrible, oh Christian, we can reinitiate bad habits in our life. And you can find yourself just caught in sin, and you feel like the old you. And so you just need to get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. I told some people, I had an epiphany yesterday. Look that up. Let me know what it means. It was with you, Keaton. It was with you. Remember, we were in John 8:44. John 8:44 is a verse I tell people all the time when Jesus says, "You are of your father, the devil." I'm gonna make an offer. No, buddy. Look it up. If you know the answer, because I've recently taught you, then you're not allowed. $5 right here. What was the cause of the devil's sin? Elijah? No. That's a symptom. That's a symptom. Not big enough for you guys. I know you guys are like, you know inflation, Steve? That's not worth anything. I know, this is probably something unbiblical about this, right? It's like, put your money, I'm giving it out, right? I'm not taking it. Anybody? Oh, you were there last night. That does not count. No, it'd be 5 cents for you. It's a symptom, not the cause. That is truth, not the cause. You know that verse because it's in that verse. You need to memorize the whole thing to get $5. In the same verse, but that's not the cause. Turn to John 8:44. It blew my mind away. And you can't imagine. Too late. Nope. I save $5 again. John 8:44, and I tell you this because I don't know why. What triggered me on that when the ladies, I told them not to look at their Bibles. That's the worst advice I could ever give, except when I'm trying to save $5. John 8:44, look at this. Jesus speaking to them. They have accused Jesus of being an illegitimate child. They said, "We know who our father is. We're not born of fornication." John 8:44, "You are of your father, the devil," speaking to the religious leaders, "and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning," and that's the cause. Is this shocking? I'll never forget it. Yes, the devil was lifted up in pride. Yes, the devil wanted to be like the Most High. But Clay, do you know why? Do you know what the cause was now? Did you not? You are busy with babies. What's the cause? He abode not in the truth. Is that shocking? Understand this. The devil said, "I will not stay in the truth because the truth will set you free." And the devil says, "I'm not living in that." And so I believe this, when he decided, "I will not," because he was surrounded by the truth. He was surrounded by the way, the truth, and the life. He was surrounded by the glory of God. And he said, "I won't live in that. I won't abide in that." And I'll tell you this, that's why he became who he was. His name was Lucifer. He became the evil one, the devil. He became the dragon. He became all that we know him for today. But I'm convinced of this, the cause. We can have a conversation. I believe all the others were symptoms. The symptom of the cause is he abode not in the truth. Is that shocking? I want you to know this. Here's what I tell people. If you find yourself out of the Word of God, guess what you should expect? To act like the devil. Pride. All about you. The Bible teaches that. Folks, you get too busy to immerse and abide in the truth of God, you're too busy. And I'm not telling you to act like it's a superstitious thing. I'm talking with your heart. Get into the Bible. Just soak in it and just meditate on it. It doesn't have to be 100 verses. One verse was awesome for me yesterday. And I told you I was going to fit that into Exodus 8. Where did it fit? My front row scholars brought it up. It has nothing to do with Exodus 8, but thank you for my front row scholars, because I told them, don't look at your Bibles. And that's what the devil will tell you. Don't look at your Bible. He abode not in the truth. I think that's the cause. We can have a conversation. I think all the others were symptoms of him not abiding in the truth, that he became full of pride. He wanted to be like the Most High. But you know what would set the devil free? You know what would set him free? The truth. And he said, I'm not living in it. I don't like this God. I don't want to be like this God. I don't know how you don't abide in the truth when all you're surrounded by is God's glory and his truth and just his wonder. But he found a way. I'm not going to live in this. And then he became all we know him for. So, save $5. All right. Now let's look at the plague of frogs. I just said verses 2-8. I won't read them again just for sake of time, but I will have a handout for you the next time I'm preaching Exodus 9, and so I won't tell you when that'll be. So for some that know, some that don't, I'm going to South Africa beginning next Wednesday for an extended time, 5 weeks, 5 weeks. I want to be here. I believe it's where God wants me to do, and I'm struggling leaving. And but I'll have a chart for you that shows you all the plagues and all the gods against which those plagues were. And Exodus chapter 12, verse 10, I think God states why he had done all the plagues, and it was to strike against the false gods of Egypt. Remember the Nile River? They worshiped the river. They worshiped the river, and one of the gods, they might have thought it was one of the gods that's blood was filling the Nile. They worshiped frogs. They worshiped frogs, and part of it was, and it was the god, let me see if I can pronounce this right, Hekt. It's the god Hekt, H-E-Q-E-T, Hekt, maybe is how you pronounce it. But one of the things they worshiped frogs for was because they were amphibious. They were both water creatures and land creatures, and they're like, whoa, special creatures. We're going to worship these. But it totally interrupted their false worship to their false gods, because the Egyptians, they had some crazy ideas in their medical papyrus. If you can just Google it, and it's just nuts what they thought was good. But they were meticulously clean. Hygiene was one of the things they cared about greatly. And they have all these frogs everywhere. It interrupted their worship of the false gods, because the frogs were everywhere. The frogs were everywhere. And it was God striking out against the frogs. You know, the first two dealt with the water, the Nile River, and then the frogs. And then let's look at Pharaoh's response. Let's look at Pharaoh's response. I think I've talked this already in verses 9. Look at this. He asked him to intercede, right? I talked about this, about him saying tomorrow. And then verse 15. He was a liar. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. He lied. I will tell you, I've said this all the time. Oh, Christian, if we have one thing, it's our integrity. Now, I do struggle, because Ellen told me I promised last week that I wouldn't be late. How many, did I promise last week that I wouldn't be late anymore on Wednesday nights? I thought she was lying, and so we'll have an invitation tonight. I'm going to go back and review the tapes, because you got to understand where I come from. I know how to word things without getting in trouble. And so I might have said this. I might have said, I promise I'll do my best, which is an empty platitude. It means nothing. And so I was late tonight. I hate being late. I'm sorry for that. And if I said I promised, I'm going to go back. I'm going to watch the tapes and play it and go, no, I didn't say that. But anyway. If I did, it's not good. It's at my heart. It's like, I just tell the truth. The truth is going to come out eventually. Lying never works. You have to be like super genius to remember all your lies to piece them together, and nobody's that smart. All that we have as Christians is we have the truth. If we don't have integrity, who will listen to the truth if we don't have any integrity and any honesty in our own selves? And, you know, here's why I tell you this. I've told people this all the time. I said, you know, if you promise somebody something and then you're like, I can't do that, what should you do, Noah? Call them up. Don't text me. and call them up and say, hey, I promised you this, and I overcommitted, and I was wrong, and I've sinned. I don't know of any Christian that would say, and they can release you from that. You understand that? That's integrity. And then manage how you promise, manage what you do, but be people of your word. And lying never works. I know. We want to lie because we're embarrassed or we don't want to get caught or whatever it is, but God sees everything. It'd be better that we're honest. Pharaoh, big liar. The plague of the lice, I said it was unannounced. Super interesting. This struck at the cleanliness of the priests. Lice everywhere, right? I actually looked it up because I thought, does lice just disappear naturally? If you just say, we're just going to ignore it. It doesn't. These guys are like the most fertile things on planet Earth, right? And so, remember, it's like, I mean, they are having eggs like every hour on the hour or something. It's crazy. I was reading it. If you don't address the lice, it just grows. You have to comb it out. You can soak it with oil. And I know there's shampoos and all that, so we've got some modern medicine that can deal with it. But you got to understand, they would have to do that with all of their animals because it would go through the hair of the animals. And really, one of the things that you still do today if you get lice is you shave your head. So anybody that's got a shaved head, be leery. Be leery. And that's so wrong, so wrong. But, you know, you talk about the Egyptians. And again, this was the same God. This was the same God, Heket, that God was attacking. And he's just also attacking, and he'll do it even more profoundly with the beast and the animals. But the God of the animals couldn't protect the beast from the lice. The God of the Egyptians couldn't protect the Egyptians from the lice. And God's just getting started. I want you to understand this. I believe that when God was doing this, it was opportunities for Pharaoh to repent and let them go. And he didn't. Harden his heart. Harden his heart. We may think God's just toying with them. He's not. I believe God's so merciful. Pharaoh was one evil guy. One evil guy. But just be careful. But for the grace of God, if you were given that power, you might be worse. And so we have to be careful. We don't uplift ourselves when we see bad guys. We should be thankful that God gave us parents and environments and teachers and friends and church members that keep us from going haywire. You understand the devil was one of the most decorated cherubims and exalted, but he wasn't satisfied. And he became the most evil being in eternity because he abode not in the truth. The lice, it was again, it interrupted. I do love this, and I don't know if I've appreciated this until I've restudied it this time, that God was also interrupting their worship of their false gods, and they could only think of one God, the true God. Why can't we worship? Oh, because there's some God of Israel that is disrupting everything. Why aren't our gods bigger than that God? And they felt pretty good about themselves when the rod was turned to a serpent, and so were theirs. No big deal that Moses has swallowed theirs up. They felt pretty good that we can turn water to blood too. We can make frogs too. It's a finger of God. Couldn't make lice. There's a reason, and I have no clue. Get to heaven, and I want to go, God, why did you not allow them to make lice? And he's going to say, have a seat. And then it's going to be so glorious. We'll be like, of course. I wish I had thought of that. Because he is so specific, and he's brilliant in everything he does. And so I want to tell you, it is not God toying with them, but this one wasn't announced as well. Now the plague of the flies. Remember this, the plague of the flies. Now, a great passage, Psalm 78 is just a great psalm anyway. You know, it's just talking about God and his power and his deliverance of Israel. It's a great psalm, but let me just show you where they go back and they're talking about how God delivered Israel from the Egyptians and Pharaoh, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers, different sorts of flies among them. It's very interesting. I love this detail. And so I wouldn't remember this. I don't know all the flies, but you know, the flies that I can't stand are horse flies, biting flies. It's just not an annoyance. It's like, you know, and it was all kinds of flies, right? And he sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them. Understand this. They say with that swarm of flies, it would have eaten their food. And you say, there are that many. It devoured them and made everything nasty, made everything unclean. They had a God, my chart that you'll get one day. The god of the lice is not Heket, it's Kepper. Kepper. My wife's probably back there going, it's Kepper. And she put this chart together, or stored this chart for somebody. It's good. Search and reapply. But the god of the flies is also Kepper. I knew there was a god of that. They were the god of the insects, the beetles, and the flies. Here's why that. You say, why do you have a god of the flies? Because they knew that flies would bring disease. Historically, in all of history, flies have been the carriers of disease throughout all the land. Mosquitoes. And some believe that the word used for flies, it may have included mosquitoes as well, which would be abundant in the Nile River. And if it's mosquitoes too, and know the word flies, we have so narrowly defined it. It could be that broad, I don't know, but just think of the flies that we know. But it is they had a god of the flies. Remember they said to Jesus, you are of Beelzebub. You know what Beelzebub means? Lord of the flies. What Beelzebub means. Now, that's not the same God that they had here, but there's been a God of the flies through a lot of history, because people thought, if I worship this God of the flies, he'll keep these flies away from me. And you know what God did? How's your God doing? Not too good, right? And he was humbling them. I want you to look in this section. And I just want to make a comment. I don't have it as a sub-point here, but if you put a sub-point, this would be a good sub-point. But I love this where God says in verse 22, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen. So again, maybe he didn't have it separate with the lice and with the water to blood. So he very well could have not had it separate. I'm making this up. When I say I'm making it up, it's not in the Bible. That's all I'm saying. I will believe until God tells me when I'm in heaven that he would have severed them for the others. But he made it crystal clear to Pharaoh. Because this one, you would be able to see more clearly, right? The water to blood, I don't know. The lice, I don't know. Maybe they could say, hey, let me see your head. But this one, the flies, you could look over in Goshen. You ever seen it rain? So cool to me. I don't think I understood that until I was an adult. I'd be like, oh, what is the world going on there? I never thought about this. When the rain comes in, there is a point where there is no rain. Okay, did you guys just learn that? Did you? Yes, Angel did. She said, I thought when it rained, it was like all over. No, but there's a place where it's not raining. And if you're standing there, it's kind of cool, right? But I think that's the way it was with the flies. They could see the line drawn. You know, imagine Goshen, flies, you know. And just on the border, he made a division. And I want you to understand this. God will make us separate from the world, and he will bless us if we just follow him. And so, now, this is the issue of the day. We have the same issue of the Jews. Now, the Jews were separated from other people because of their diet. God tells us that. I think it's Leviticus 17. I'll get the exact verse later if you want. He gave the reason why he gave them the Levitical diet. It was to keep them separate from the other people so he could have a nation that would be holy, set apart unto him, and through whom he would bring the Messiah. But what the Jews did is they hated anybody that didn't eat like them. And the people that didn't eat like them hated them. We are going to be separate from the world. If you're saved 3 to 5 years, you'll have no lost friends. You better figure out how to get into lost people's lives and reach them for Christ. Otherwise, you will justify, I just don't have anybody in my life. Pick a gas station other than Thornton's. I'm not fighting you over that. But it ought to be your gas station. Get one that always has low prices. That's what I do. They don't usually anymore, so now I have to get more Diet Mountain Dew. My wife understands that it's a spiritual connection. I love it. God's opening doors at Thornton's. Aaron and his mom came Sunday. You can't have a Bible study with him this week. I'm a little bummed because I leave next week. But everybody's talking about it now. Did I tell you? I saw Aaron after his service, and Bree was the young lady. I was there, and she goes, I heard you were talking about me in your message. I was like, what did he tell you? And so, be careful. I said, you need to be saved. You know, so I tried to switch it. And she wasn't upset. And did I tell you this? This is so cool. Did I tell you this? Maybe I told you this Sunday. I said, you need to go to church, because she told Aaron he needs to go to church. Did I tell you this Sunday? This is just, and there are like 7-8 people in line. Did I tell you this Sunday? Did I tell you that? 7-8 people in line. And I, believe it or not, I try to be considerate once a year. And so I said, I got to go. I'll tell you about it later. Every person, they said, no, you continue. I went to all 7 or 8 people. I said, are you all right? You all right? You okay? They all said, I'm okay. I got louder. Had a bigger audience. Is that crazy? Now, I'm telling you, they all had beer in their hands. I didn't care. I got to share the gospel with them. I got to finish the gospel with Bree. I'll tell you this. People want to hear. They want to hear about the Bible. They'll listen to you. And you know this? God wants them to listen to you. And so just be separate from the world. But we are not to be of the world, but we are to be in the world. Jesus said, I am not asking you, Father, to take them out of this world, but, oh, Father, keep them from sin and sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Folks, you've got to find a way to get in lost people's lives so that you can reach them for Jesus Christ. This wasn't about us holding hands, singing kumbaya, going to heaven, and let everybody else go to hell. He severed Israel as a blessing. It's a blessing that God severed us from the world, is it not? It's good. But you better reach people for Christ. Why are we here? God saved us to serve. You know, I'm nervous going to South Africa. And they some of them told me what they want me to preach a little bit, and I'm fine, I'll do that. And, my typical intro when I get to preach at a church, you've heard this before, right? I'll go, how many of you in the last 5 years have pursued a lost person? You've taught them the word of God. You've taught them the gospel. You've seen them saved. They follow the Lord in baptism. You continue to disciple them, and they're serving the Lord today. How many in the last 5 years have just won at least one person? I only go to Baptist churches. How many hands do I get? Typically 0. And the one or two that raise their hand, you can tell it's a little sheepish. And I love, maybe they're just not trying to be like, And then my next comment, I wonder why I don't get invited back. I'll look at them and I go, why do you exist? I'll say, you know, the best thing you should do, sell these assets and give it to somebody that's going to do the work of God, because God saved us that we would take the gospel to the lost. And then you talk about an icebreaker, right? And then I'll tell them this. I say, I missed the boat for 40 years. The only bullet I had in my satchel was witnessing. And I will answer for that, because I did not teach people that I used to work with the Bible. I would witness to them, and then how many times can you witness to them without them going, I've heard that, Steve. They would have sat down with me with the Bible. I could have gotten them at lunch and gotten them in the Bible. I will answer for that. We are to be separate from the world, but we better find lost people to teach. If you don't have lost people to teach, let the Lord help you, and He will. Final thing, negotiating with God. we do that. Verse 25 to 32. You know the story. We just read it. It's Pharaoh's like, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. You can worship him here in Goshen, a nasty place, Goshen. And you got to love Moses. It doesn't seem like God told Moses everything to say. And Moses said, it is not meet to do so. I don't think it would have been wrong for Moses to go, let me go check with God. I'll get back with you. But he didn't. Moses said, that's not what God said. I was sent here to tell you that we're going to do what God said, and there's no moving off of that. And I know God. I've talked to God. I know his word, and we're not doing that. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. And he said, all right, all right, all right. You may sacrifice, but don't go far away. Entreat for me. And Moses didn't really argue. And he said, far away, 3 days journey. Maybe Moses convinced himself it wasn't. And then the saddest part is verse 32. Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. In that same chapter, in John chapter 8, where Jesus says that famous statement that you shall know the truth and truth shall set you free, he talks about being in bondage to sin. The longer you refuse to repent, I'm going to keep it up. Nobody knows. This is my secret sin. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm not happy about it, but you know, I can't overcome it, Steve. You don't understand. I just know what the Bible says, and God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The longer you go without repenting, the harder your heart will get. Oh, Christian, you can harden your heart. The apostles did. Jesus said, have you yet hardened your hearts? You see, Pharaoh needed to understand God's right and I'm not. There's no compromise. You all know what the Bible says. Everybody I talk to knows what the Bible says. They're just seeing if there's some loophole. Some loophole in the Bible that I can do what I want and still get to heaven. No loopholes. One way, and when Jesus saves, he changes. You understand? It is, but I want us not to just pick on Pharaoh. You know how I know this so well, Seth? You know how I know this so well? Because of my wife. No, because I've lived almost 60 years. And I'm ashamed of my sin. And I know what my sin does. And I've hardened my heart. And I lost hope at times. Because I was foolish. I don't know. I don't know of anybody that's in sin here tonight. But you know what God's telling you? Let your sin go. That you may serve him. Let your sin go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. God cares, and he knows what bondage is because he created us. He doesn't know it personally, but he empathizes with you because he took upon himself your sin and your bondage. We don't want to be like Pharaoh. We want, when God sends some frogs, when God sends some lice, when God sends some flies, oh, may I repent. Best thing God could ever do is trouble us so that we would get right with him. Plague of the flies, the lice, and the frogs. Let's pray. Father,